This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Jeremy Wade is the host of River Monsters on Animal Planet, now in its seventh season.
Hello, Mike.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I love your accent. Where are you from?
I'm from England. I live in southwest England.
Oh, very nice. I'm enamored with the English accent. I don't know why, but it's anybody that speaks like you, I can listen to them talk all day.
There are lots of different English accents, of course. You know, I consider myself fairly sort of standard. There's lots of interesting regional accents which even I don't really understand.
Okay. Well, one thing you understand is that you're on the number one show on Animal Planet, huh? That's pretty good.
Yeah, and we're still doing it after 7 years, which I never really expected when we started off.
Well, we're talking about River Monsters, of course. For people that haven't seen it, and I can't imagine there are too many out there, but what is the idea behind this expedition series?
Well, some people say it's a fishing show. It's not really a fishing show. It does involve fishing, but it's more of a sort of an underwater detective story. So it starts off with a story of somebody being bitten or pulled under, otherwise injured, molested by something living in the water. And I come along and I try to work out what it is. I'll assemble a suspect list. I will then go after the perpetrator, try and get my hands on whatever it is. And then in a sort of final twist, I will let that thing go, having shown it to the camera. Well, I mean, each shoot is about sort of 2.5 weeks. So there's a lot of research goes in before that. I was actually traveling on my own for about 20 years before I was doing this on TV. So I sort of amassed quite a lot of research material sort of ready, that was lined up, ready to go. Nowadays, we've used a lot of that up, so we got a team researching. But yeah, we're just 2.5 weeks in the field talking to people. It's quite a short time, really, but what that does, it sort of concentrates the mind. It makes you really fish effectively.
What kind of river monsters have you uncovered? Some of these almost look prehistoric.
Well, actually, some of them this season are prehistoric. Just sort of jumping the gun there slightly. I mean, we've got to the point where we are sort of running out of, or starting to run out of, large freshwater creatures. And so one of the programs this year, we travel back in time and go and dig up some fossils and then bring them to life through sort of computer generated imagery. There is stuff today that looks almost prehistoric. The thing about freshwater as opposed to the sea is generally the visibility is not very good. You can't see much down there. And for the fish that live there, if other fish can't see them, there's no point being good looking. So there are things like something in India called a goonch catfish, which it has tentacles hanging off its mouth, but also off various other parts of its body. It looks like something out of the imagination of a medieval painter, but it's real, and this was something that until our program most people just weren't aware of. Craziest thing, I don't know. I think one fish that I spent a long time trying to catch is called the Goliath tigerfish, and it lives in the Congo rainforest in the middle of Africa. And this is a region where people don't really go as tourists. Nobody goes there from the outside. And this is it's basically a giant piranha. It's a relative of the piranha, and people get very excited about piranhas, which grow just a few inches long. This thing grows as big as me. It's got teeth that are 1 inch long, which is the same size as the teeth on a 1,000-pound great white shark. But it lives in rivers, and it lives in rivers where people who don't have running water in their houses, they have to go to the river to wash themselves, wash their clothes, whatever. And you've got these things swimming around.
You search for these river monsters based on the stories that people tell you. Mm-hmm. What's the wildest story of an encounter that a native has told you when you've got on the scene?
The goonch catfish that I was just talking about, that was there were stories. This is up a mountain river in India on the border with Nepal, there were stories of people being pulled under the water. But more unbelievable was that. This one guy told us his buffalo, this is an animal that weighs, a quarter of a ton or something, was down at the river drinking, and something grabbed it by the face and pulled that in. He lost a buffalo, and you think, blimey, what is there that can possibly do that? As a further twist to that story, so how can the thing about fish is that if they've got enough food, they can keep on growing. It's not like an elephant grows to a certain size. If it then grows too much bigger, it won't be able to move. It won't be able to feed itself. But fish can keep on growing. And in this particular part of India, what they do is when people die, they burn the bodies beside the river, and the remains go into the water. And it's something that a lot of people told me, that the fish will eat the human remains. So there is a food source. So this story, which sounds very unlikely to start with, you look at it in detail, and all the pieces do fit together.
Is there a river monster that has actually eluded you over all these years?
There was one fish last season, which is a catfish that lives in the Amazon, where I had actually caught some, but I'd not really caught one as big as I wanted. I'd caught fish sort of like 70, 80 pounds, but these things grow much bigger. And I finally caught one considerably bigger than me, about just over 250 pounds, and so I'm getting to the point where I've sort of ticked off most of the ones that I had on my list, say, 20 years ago.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it, Jeremy, and all the best on a new season of River Monsters.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
With Jeremy Wade of River Monsters, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Hi, who's this?
My name is Happy, and I'm from Seattle, Washington. I was adopted, so they were happy to get me.
Pretty right.
Seattle, there are a lot of places.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
Seattle, there are a lot of places during the summertime, or summer's kind of short up there, but there's all kinds of riding. You get up in the Cascade Mountains, Snoqualmie Pass, the rides to Mount Rainier are really nice rides over on the Olympic Peninsula. Take a ferry across, which is kind of fun. It's just beautiful up there. We have a lot of beautiful scenery and good, excellent roads up there for bikes.
American Biker Minute.
Feel the wind in your hair.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think green. Harris with you. Did you know that Teflon-coated and other non-stick cookware are believed to be toxic to humans? The Environmental Working Group found that in the 2 to 5 minutes that Teflon pans are heated on a stove, the coating breaks apart and releases at least 6 toxic gases, including 2 carcinogens. The lungs of exposed birds have been known to hemorrhage and fill up with fluid, leading to suffocation, according to Natural News. For us, it's called polymer fume fever and is said to be a temporary flu-like symptom. Additionally, when Teflon pans get scratched during cooking, small amounts of Teflon and leached aluminum adhere to food and become ingested. So how serious is this? Well, in a 2006 John Hopkins Medical Center test, these chemicals were present in the umbilical cord blood of 99% of the 300 infants tested. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.